here's a story from The World.
A year ago today, a Minneapolis police officer placed his knee on George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes. Soon, Floyd was dead. The video shocked people around the globe. Floyd's murder became a rallying cry to confront police brutality in communities across the planet, even as far away as New Zealand. Protests there erupted and seemed to have an immediate, tangible impact. But as The World's Roopa Shenoy reports, a year on, it's not clear how much has really changed.
To understand how George Floyd did or did not change New Zealand, you have to go back to before he died, to Christchurch, March 2019.
This afternoon, we are dealing with a very serious and tragic series of events.
Police Commissioner Mike Bush confirmed that a white nationalist had shot and killed 51 people at two mosques. New Zealanders were stunned. Many honored the victims by performing the ceremonial Māori haka dance. The country's police force also proposed a drastic step to create armed police units.
It's unusual for New Zealand. We have a nominally unarmed frontline police officers. They are all carrying guns, but they keep them in the car.
Emily Rakate is spokeswoman for People Without Prisons, Aotearoa. It advocates for the abolition of prisons in New Zealand. Her group opposed the proposal, arguing that armed police patrols would end up harassing Maori communities. People from those communities are already disproportionately policed and incarcerated.
About a month before the final decision was made on armed police patrols, George Floyd was murdered.
Thousands protested in New Zealand.
And so there was a huge kind of upswelling of popular support for the campaign against armed police patrols that I don't think would have been there if there hadn't been this popular public consciousness about police racism, about police killings.
And they won. The new police commissioner, Andrew Koster, shelved the proposal.
It's become clear that armed response teams do not align well with the style of policing that New Zealanders expect. As a result, we will not be continuing with them.
Protesters in New Zealand had a strengthened sense of solidarity with others organizing across the world, says Tanya Savisky-Mead. She's director of Just Speak, a group devoted to criminal justice reform.
The level of awareness grew exponentially of the real and immediate fear and stress that armed police puts on communities of colour and Indigenous peoples in New Zealand, but also internationally.
But the coronavirus pandemic slowed the momentum, she says. And in June last year, a New Zealand police officer was shot and killed for the first time in a decade. Officers in mourning performed the haka. Then, days later, a video went viral showing police in Auckland beating a young Maori man who was arrested for graffiti.
Please, look at him. He's f***ing hurt. He's f***ing hurt. Get off him.
In August, an official investigation confirmed that Maori are seven times more likely than white New Zealanders to face use of force by police. Separately, the Independent Police Authority criticized officers for the death of a suspect in custody. And then there was a new issue. Savisky-Mead says officers were caught creating a database of possible suspects without informed consent.
Police were roaming around different communities, just pulling over young people, most often young Maori, and photographing them with no explanation given.
Despite all of that, the New Zealand government is proposing an expansion of police powers to seize firearms. That's in response to a perceived increase in gang activity and shootings.
When we talk about targeting gangs, often what is being said is that is targeting Maori, even if people obviously won't say that out loud.
Still, Savisky-Mead says she's hopeful that George Floyd's death and the ensuing protests in New Zealand will help bring more accountability. Police have announced a long-term research project to uncover biases in their policies and procedures.
An inquiry is unlikely to tell us anything that we don't already know, but I think the degree to which police are participating in that process is an important change from where they were 2 years ago, which was basically denying the existence of racism within the force.
Emily Rakate of People Without Prisons Aotearoa is more skeptical. She points to a pattern on policing and racism that goes back to the 1980s.
So they apologized to us for being racist then, and they said that they'd get better. And then they did another report that found that they were being racist. So they apologized to us and said they would get better. And they did another report that found that they were being racist. So they apologized to us and said that they would get better. They're doing another report now. I'm really, really interested to hear what it finds. I think that it might find that they're racist, in which case they will no doubt apologise to us and say that they're going to get better.
For people in New Zealand, Rakete says, George Floyd's death was an awakening. But that's just a beginning. There's a long way to go. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.